VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we hear about things going on in our nation, in our legislatures, in our county government, in our city, and in our schools, and we get frustrated. We get frustrated at the magnitude of it all. We throw up our arms and say, I'm only one person, what can I do? Have you ever felt that way? Well, years ago when issues came up, people sprang up to action. They sprang up from all quarters to stop the oppression. They were called Minutemen. Today, there are mothers that are springing up as well to the assault on children in schoolhouses across the nation. Well, our guest today has called them the Kitchen Militia. We're going to break down this topic here today and discuss it with our guest, Tom DeWeese. He's president of American Policy Center. Tom is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and American sovereignty and independence and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, which is a political novel. Tom, thanks for joining us here, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you. It's my pleasure to be with you, Jim.
Tom, let's first review the work of what was known as Minutemen, the Minutemen of 1775. Who were they? What role did they play?
They were basically just citizens, and when the word came out that they were needed, kind of the drum sounded and off they went. And they made the basis for the beginning of the Continental Army. And, but the basic thing was that they were ready to spring out in a minute. Whatever's needed, we're going to be there. And when you had the situation at the Concord Bridge and so forth, those were Minutemen that turned out.
Well, there is another drum beating right now, and matter of fact, you say that indicate that there's a federal assault on children in their local schoolhouses across the nation. And so before we talk about the Minutemen coming out, let's talk about what the nature of this assault is, the dangers that are out there, the issues themselves. And we've got a number of issues to cover. And I know, Tom, you've been following education for many, many, many years. And what we're seeing now in 2022, there really is a history behind what we're seeing in education today. It just did not begin with Common Core. Help us understand what's going on.
Yeah, I got involved in this back in the 90s when Bill Clinton was president, and he was putting in place, his whole package was Goals 2000, School to Work, the Careers Act, which also was known as Workforce Development, and all of this was the socialization of the education system. The most frightening thing about all of this was at that time there was a Republican majority in the Congress. And it was Republicans putting these bills in place. And I was at war with them at the time. Just give you a couple of examples. Representative Buck McKeon from California was pushing hard to get what was called the Careers Act. The Careers Act was basically put together by Ted Kennedy. And the idea was for businesses to decide what the curriculum would be to have the proper workers for them. That goes along with School to Work as well. And it was all behavior modification, all, you know, just teach them just these the basics that they need in order to fulfill what the workforce needed instead of a whole education. And when I would put this information out at the time, Buck McKeon put out a Dear Colleague letter to every member of Congress calling me a liar, and I was banned from a meeting in his office, which I attended anyway. Then Senator Mike DeWine, now governor of Ohio, put together, took up, we had beaten the Workforce Development Board about three times in the Senate, and he works it out again, had a staffer call me and say, Tom, we'd like to have you on board with us. I said, you're out of your mind. There's no way I'm going to do that. The day they put it on the floor of the House, or the Senate, to vote for it, Mike DeWine was walking around the Senate floor saying, Tom DeWeese and Phyllis Schlafly are supporting my bill.
Wow.
You know, I've never let him forget that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
These are what this all rolls down to is we were eliminating the basic education of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and we were replacing it with behavior modification. And many, many people who were promoting these things were saying that the children, we've got to get control of how they think so we can make a future with that. And, you know, so that's what it became. It's how you believe, not what you know. So learning to write, learning to read, learning about our history, that sort of thing, that was no longer important. It was behavior modification that you have the right attitudes, values, and beliefs to be the perfect, what they said, the perfect global citizen.
Hmm. And hence, I guess the common or the current buzzwords are Common Core.
Yeah, well, Common Core comes along, and have you ever seen how they lay out these Common Core? I mean, when I was in school, I had trouble with math and getting into geometry and everything else. I had trouble with that. I look at these Common Core problems that they put out. I have absolutely no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they just take a system that was hard enough to understand and made it so it was absolute gibberish and makes no sense whatsoever. Start talking to kids. If you go into a store and you have a young person there as a clerk who's to make change, I hear this story all the time.
Yes.
People will give them extra money to go, that's too much. They don't understand, you know, how to make change and so forth.
Right.
They don't understand that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So we're seeing that come through many of the courses, that whole Common Core curricula, but it's really an outgrowth of what you mentioned, the Goals 2000, the Workforce Development, the School to Work, the Careers Act, Behavior Modification is all tied together. Also, there's something called Equity Collaborative. What is that?
Well, you hear the word equity used everywhere now, and it all has to do with race and how different races are treated. Instead of just students to learn education, and this Equity Collaborative is one of these NGO operations that Loudoun County, Virginia, which has been leading the fight against all this stuff, they ended up paying this Equity Collaborative a bundle of money to help put this process into their education system, and you know, just to tell you how they think, you hear about they don't want adults there. They don't want to tell adults what the curriculum is. They don't want the mothers involved. Well, the co-founder of this Equity Collaborative said adults are in the way. Kids change much faster. Change to what? You know, what is it that you want them to change to?
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the big question, that equity situation. And again, attitudes, values, and beliefs are the core of it all.
Give us a word about social-emotional learning. What is that, SEL?
Well, again, this is all about how you feel about
feelings.
Something. And, you know, we have children who are out protesting because they're offended by someone having a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And this stuff is pounded into their head so much that they, if you come up with a different idea, they don't know how to handle that. And so social-emotional learning, we've got to make sure we're not offending them. We've got to make sure that everything is smooth and easy for them to move right along to become the perfect global village citizen.
And hence comes critical race theory as well.
Yeah, well, here it is, critical race theory. Everything is based on race. You know, Martin Luther King talked about he dreamt of the day when his children, people of color, people would be chosen judged by the color, their
quality of their character.
Quality of their character instead of the color of their skin. They have completely flipped that over, and now everything is about race. And we just see it everywhere in our society now taking over that, even people who are doing these grab and runs in all these stores, the answer comes back, well, they probably needed those things.
Yeah.
You know, so just go in and steal it. That's okay.
Hmm.
You know, and so everything's based on that. It is all designed. Every one of these things is designed to put a wedge in our society to erase who we were, what we were. We don't teach that anymore. Anything about the founders or any of the of our economic system, the free market system, private property, all of that is now tyranny and racist, and we have to get rid of that. Every one of those things are the targets as they move forward with these education programs.
I'm just going to throw one more thing in the mix, Tom, as well, and I know it's tied into so many of these other matters, and it's the sexuality education, the LGBTQ plus indoctrination, gender preferences, and allowing students to decide what gender they are today, give them access to the restrooms, locker rooms, showers, even the sports teams of however they wish to identify. I mean, that's all interwoven into this assault on young people today as well.
Absolutely. What are we up to now? 14 genders? I mean, 42 genders that they say we have? Mm-hmm. It's confusing. And again, you get down to that thing about making sure that the children aren't insulted and so forth. Whatever they think, whatever they want, That's what they do. And it's okay to think that way. And you're never taught morals. You're never taught reality. You're never taught science. The real science of these things. It's all about literally destroying our culture and our what we grew up with, and that everything there is evil, and that includes your sexual orientation and your color.
Tom, do you believe that this is a deliberate dumbing down of education?
Absolutely.
For what purpose?
Absolutely, I do, yeah.
For what purpose?
The purpose is to let me take it back to this. We have a force in the world that wants to rule the world. They want global control. And they, you know, the global economy, you know, through the United Nations and so forth. There was one nation that stood in their way, a nation that was taught, through our founders and through our Constitution and so forth, that limited government. Governments don't create your rights. Government's job is to protect your rights, and we keep government under control of the people, not government controlling the people. That country was in the way, the United States of America, and how do we fix that? What do we do about that? We take away all of those beliefs. And, I used in the article this quote from a guy named Chester Pierce, who he was a Harvard psychiatrist, and he was speaking to the International Education Seminar back in 1973, and he's talking to teachers, and he says, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he has come to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you as teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future.
Wow.
That is the root of what this is all about, to change this nation away from free enterprise, private property, individual liberty, belief in God, on and on. That's the root of it.
Tom DeWeese is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, stay with us because there's been a lot of doom and gloom, but there's also some solutions that Tom wants to present as well here in the program. But we'll talk further about these issues after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about Neanderthal man?
Chris, from a biblical perspective, Neanderthal man was a human just like me or you. They evidently were an ethnic group that migrated away from Babel, living in very harsh conditions, but were human nonetheless. Archaeological discoveries have shown that they used agriculture, they buried their dead, they had art, musical instruments, they were humans just like me and you. Those who assigned them to subhuman categories suggested that they didn't have the right kind of hands to use tools. But a recent study has shown that they had thumb and forefingers just like ours, with just as much dexterity. In every sense, they were as human as you and me, descendants of Noah, souls for whom Christ died. Going back to Genesis makes all the data fit so well.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. He is the president of it and really advocating on behalf of common sense values here across this nation. Tom, as it's just amazing here, as advanced as we are in a society, I mean, we're producing a staggering number of young people who cannot properly read, they cannot properly write, as you mentioned in that last segment, cannot perform simple math skills. I mean, something should perk up our ears that something is wrong here. And there are also parents who are noticing, hey, our child was nurtured in their early years of life. We put them into a system and we're seeing changes happen in our child, you know, that we're frustration or rebellion or anger or becoming withdrawn. I mean, something's going on.
Absolutely, and it's a revolution to absolutely change our system, our entire nation. You know, we're talking about getting rid of our legacy and changing our history and all of that. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. I mean, children are born a blank slate, and they're victims of this. If you see these kids protesting and doing all these things, that they have been influenced to do that is the right thing to do. You now have schools promoting that kids go out and protest and take part in protest rallies and that sort of thing and demonstrations. And they never did that when I was in school,
right.
I came up in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so,
I think we saw that when Governor Scott Walker here was working with the legislature to put in Act 10 and classrooms were coming to protest. And I remember reporters sitting down with someone, what are you protesting? I don't know. There was some bad dude doing something bad here, you know? And so, you know, yeah. but indeed we're in essence becoming change agents for young people. And Tom, there's another thing. There's this conflict that's going on because parents teach your children, you know, values in those early years. And many times one of those things they say, well, you need to obey your teacher. And yet they go to the classroom and the classroom is working against the values of the parents. And young people are becoming very conflicted.
Absolutely. And then as they grow up, and this is already happening because it's been going on long enough, we now have a generation of parents who don't know that history, don't know the economics, mm-hmm. don't know the things that we're talking about here, and they are the victims and the product of that education system, and now their kids are moving forward even in even greater radicalism on these things.
Yeah. You indicate even SAT tests have been dumbed down?
Oh yeah, they've been doing that for quite a while. And, of course, when George Bush came along, and he comes out with Leave No Child Behind,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about these tests, were kind of a result of that program. And people would say, well, the teachers are going to just teach to the test so they get all the answers right. And his comment was, well, at least they're learning something then. That's what we're going to do with education? At least
wow.
they're learning something?
Wow.
But that's, and the thing was that, as I mentioned, under Clinton, people were standing up, were fighting, trying to stop these things. When Bush came along, that all kind of died down. This happens over and over again, our side, that all we want to focus on is get our guy in the White House, and then we don't have to do anything anymore. So as soon as we got him in there, oh, the danger's gone, we can go home. That's not true. George Bush was almost as bad on education as Bill Clinton, and the Leave No Child Behind was a prime example of that. And, here we have the programs kept rolling. The Department of Education kept bringing it all in. The education, National Education Association got more and more control, and they're just a union putting all this stuff in place. So we investigated at one time the National Education Association. There was a library in D.C., and we went in there trying to find old tests. What did they really, in the old days, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, teach our children? What did they have to know? All those tests disappeared. They were taken out and eliminated.
Tom, a question that's been puzzling many is, why have so many schools pulled away from teaching cursive writing?
Well, it's they're not teaching any of those kinds of skills.
Yeah.
And I hear people say if they can't read cursive writing, they can't read the original documents of the founders because they're all written that way.
Well,
although I find them hard to read too.
Yeah.
So, but it is just a you know, everything is on the computer. I went to my high school, my class reunion. We went to our high school and did a tour there. And the person guiding us through, there was a hallway with all the lockers up and down the hall. And she said, you know, if you looked in these lockers, you probably won't find anything in them. They don't have books anymore.
Hmm.
Everything is done on the computer. They sit in the classroom and everything is brought up, you know, that way. And, you know, kids, you know, everybody, it's a joke now. Everybody talks about the kids sitting there with their thumbs going as fast as they can on their phone. And they couldn't, they don't take any time to write anyway. And if it's on the computer, as we already know what, you know, the what these big tech companies are doing,
right.
They're not getting facts that way anyway.
Tom DeWeese with us here today. So let's talk about some solutions. One solution that often we hear is that we just need to spend more money on this, Tom. We need to put more money into education. Is that the solution?
No. I believe that we ought to get start giving them less money and make them more accountable for the money that they get. You know, what are they bringing out? We're already finding, even especially right after this whole COVID lockdown mess, they the math skills and so forth have plummeted even more. We went from being number one in the world to like number 46 now, I think it is, in the world in education skills, math skills, things like that. That is a result of this education process. They're not being taught basic education,
mm-hmm.
Basic academics. And that's what we've got to focus on. If they're going to get more money for the schools, that ought to be the focus. And, you know, what I do notice now, as I said, that under Bush, people started to back off and not fight so much. Now, with critical race theory and these other things coming to the forefront, now I'm seeing more and more parents really understanding there's a major problem here. And, of course, they are going into city halls school boards and so forth and advocating their protest to it and so forth. But they got to have a solution. And I believe that one of the things they've got to start demanding is that their children are taught to read and write and do real math. You know, they've come out with new math, which isn't math at all,
mm-hmm.
and they keep changing these things.
Yeah.
And my experience has been is fighting Agenda 21. Every time we get onto something, they change the name of it. And they say, oh, this isn't that. You know?
Right.
They do it there, too.
This is not outcome-based education. It's Goals 2000. Or, you know, they'll come out. It's the same thing with the different wrapper. It has a different name on it, but it's the same inside. So, Tom, just let's, looking at the clock here, it's moving on us. Introduce us to the kitchen militia. What is meant by that?
Well, first of all, this was a term that I didn't really make this up. There was a lady back in the 90s, who were with us, we were fighting these things. Her name was Shay Simonton, and she kind of coined that term, the kitchen militia. And as I put in the article, one of the things she said, I won't read the whole thing, but part of it, she said, "We are thousands of mothers and grandmothers come researchers located in every state of the country. We have micro-researched every facet of the so-called restructuring, and in the process have become experts on the United Nations, the U.S. Soviet education, technology, so on and so forth." What she's saying here is we woke up. We have finally figured out what's going on here. We are researching what is going on, and now we're loading ourselves with knowledge, information, so we can fight back. And she coined the term kitchen militia. And basically what she's talking about, it's the mothers who have begun to understand there's something very wrong with my child, something that's going on here, and we got to do something about it. Now, that was back in the 90s, and what I was kind of advocating with this article is that we need to resurrect that and the kitchen militia, and we're seeing that. The people who are storming the school boards now over critical race theory and demanding, I mean, we've had people on the Board of Education and in the school education system being fired, being eliminated because of the crazy stuff that they're putting together. It's working. They are the people putting all this stuff together are terrified of people learning the truth, and they are starting to. They are really starting to see it. We need to begin to organize in a more efficient way sharing information, and ready to move as soon as immediately, be there at every single school board meeting, every public meeting, questioning. And as I said before, we've got to have as a solution that you have got to start teaching basic academics and stop all this psychology-driven stuff. And don't, you know, try to tell my child how they should think. Just teach them these basic, you know, academic skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be our line on this. And I see more of that starting to happen now.
Well, we have seen many examples of this taking place. I mean, the Loudoun County, Virginia has really woken up to this aspect, so to speak, as there have been many moms who have come up and many have referred them as to the rising of Mama Bear once again, who are saying, not with my child. You're not going to allow this to happen to my child. And whether it be books in the library or the, you know, the mockery of values or whatever it may be, there are those who are standing up. And Tom, this pushback, I mean, there's a difference that's being made.
Absolutely. I mean, for too long, and you kind of hinted at this in the beginning, that we're taught to respect our elected officials and our leaders and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught for that. And people would do that. And we would send our children to these classrooms for, you know, 8 hours a day. The teachers had your children longer than you did as you go into there. And there's got to be accountability of what they're doing to the children. And when they started to say parents can't help with homework, and one of the things was like the whole Common Core and all that kind of stuff, is they got this stuff to the point that the parents couldn't help with the homework.
Right.
Because the parents are looking at that saying, what? You know?
Yeah.
And when they don't want you to know what you're teaching the children, that's the first thing that should light you up. And that's what's been happening.
Yeah, and so often the emphasis is put on the process of going through. We don't care if you have the right answer or not, just that you understand, oh, there is a process to go through this, and the process is 10, 20 steps more than what a simple process would take to complete that equation.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. And I'll tell you, I've spent most of my last several years on the property rights issue, and there are reasons for that. But I believe the education issue is the most important issue. If we can't get control of what the children are learning and make sure that they have our values and beliefs and know what this country is really about, then there is no going back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have generation after generation that never heard of this. How in the world can anybody be taught that? The people going through the education colleges to become teachers are taught this. They don't know any better than to go into the classroom and push this stuff. And all the I think back of all the incredible teachers that I had, what they would do if they were told that to teach these kind of things, an English class and so forth. And, that's something that's not even talked about hardly in class anymore. And your child may have a textbook that says algebra or says English literature, but look inside and see what's really in there, and you'll find very little of that in there.
Tom DeWeese with us here today talking about the Kitchen Militia. We'll have a little more discussion after the break. We'll also be opening phone lines here in just a few minutes, so stay with us. We'll alert you when that takes place. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who is for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
Are you going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD 180.
180.
Featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD 180.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us here today from the American Policy Center and talking about the kitchen militia. And folks, the issues we're talking about today, what's happened within the educational system, is nothing new. It's been going on. The attack has been going on for many years. I quickly called up here the communist goals that were listed in 1963, and this was put into the congressional record in the House of Representatives. And Tom, I'm just looking here as you were talking just a bit ago about the importance of our children today and what they know and the importance of guarding them. Here I just saw communist goal number 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. That was 1963, the communist goals read into the congressional record.
Absolutely. And they, you know, they're very diligent. That's the thing that our side has got to understand. These people, even when they lose battles or they start out looking absolutely hopeless because they're so such a minority, they never stop. They never give in. And they keep looking for another opportunity here and an opportunity there. And pretty soon, they control it all. And that's exactly what they have done. And they've told us over and over again what their goals are, and people don't believe it. That's the frustrating part about it. Oh, that come on, that can't be. How many times have I been told that? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's right there in black and white, and that's been the change agents have been going on for some time. And so Tom is calling forth, once again, in essence, the kitchen militia to be activated in this regard. And Tom, again, many people wonder, I'm just here by myself. Practically speak to me. How can I get engaged in these issues? We've heard you before talking about, you know, reaching those local units of government as being so key to what, you know, that you have the greatest connection with those local units of government. And this whole aspect of what happens within the educational system is closer to us than a whole lot of, well, than the U.S. Congress itself. How can a person just listening to the program today get engaged with the very issues that you're talking about and to fight even for the heart and soul of young people today and the indoctrination that's going on?
Yeah, everything we've talked about in the past of working on city councils and county commissions and so forth is absolutely true as well with school boards. They have the same group of private organizations, NGO organizations, private foundations that are bringing in grant money, bringing in these programs. And, you know, it's all the same, exactly. So the same tactics will work. The number one thing people have to understand is they really can't do this alone because they'll be ignored. But they are terrified that people will come in numbers and understand what's you know coming at them. But you don't have to have thousands of people. If you had a dedicated 25 people, you could really begin to turn things around. And there, you know, you have to begin to look around. There are mothers, there are fathers who are upset with what's going on. Some of them are attending these meetings, and you can begin to talk to people. You just can't sit at home and say, there's nothing I can do. You have got to take some action. Find five people who agree with you. And the number one thing to do is research. Find out who your enemy is. Find out what's really going on. And then you can begin to put together what you need to say. Or maybe you can find some people who are interested in what's going on or you know, good at talking. And they can go in and make the presentation, but they've got to have the backup. They've got to have the information. But, you know, so many people just say, well, I've got a family to raise. I've got a job to do. I just don't have time for this. It's your family. You have no choice. You've got to take care of your children. And there are other people who agree with you. You can look on social media. You could post something on social media and say something about some of this stuff, and some people would answer you, and you'd find some allies. So get four or five people together and begin with that, and you can begin to move forward. You know,
it's very easy for people through this electronic age as well to see school board agendas before they happen, to see the issues that are going to be coming up at the meeting.
Yeah, and then you can take that out and maybe do a letter to the editor or something, or maybe even put a little pamphlet together and take it door to door if you're all by yourself, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon you'll have your five people. And once you've got that, you've got some allies, and they know other people, and you begin to grow from there. But we have got to do the due diligence on this. We have got to put together the permanent infrastructure from which to fight back. The problem we have is that we don't do that. We wait until something comes up, and then we're starting to ask questions. Well, what's that about? Anybody know anything about this? By the time you've asked all those questions, they've already put this stuff in place.
Right.
You
right.
need to have that infrastructure. You need the researchers. You need the what we call the agitators, the people who will speak out, the people who will volunteer to go to every single public meeting. They don't have to do anything but listen. Bring that information home so you know what you're up against and what's coming ahead of time, and then you can prepare for it. It's that simple, but we have to do that dirty work, that groundwork, to begin to organize that way.
Tom, I'm just losing you here a bit from your phone. By the way, folks, pick up your phone. We're opening our lines here. If you have questions you'd like to ask of our guest today, Tom DeWeese, or a brief comment, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Now, don't take away from this program that Tom or Jim are saying every person who's in the public education system is a bad person or teaching bad things. Tom, there are many loving, caring teachers who are fighting against these things internally. We have to make note, though, of what the establishment, I mean, when we look at the agenda of the NEA and what we see coming down through administrations, there is much to be concerned about as what's going on. I'm thankful for those teachers who are standing on the front lines to say, you know, not in my class, I'm not going to do that, but and who are going to teach civics in other places where they're not. But certainly we need to understand, as we look at this issue from a whole, that is the course that this is on.
Yeah, well, these teachers that are standing up is an opportunity for us, because when they do stand up, they're getting all kinds of trouble.
Yes.
And maybe threatened with firing and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity to rally around them. The worst part is we've got so many of good teachers resigning who won't put up with this stuff anymore, or we've got good ones being thrown out. And one thing you can't do is just wait for one person like that teacher to stand up by themselves. They need to have support. They need you there. That will embolden them to do more, and you can save them in the classroom as well.
Let's go to Christine in Racine, Wisconsin. Christine, you're on the air.
Hi. I can't thank you enough for your program today, because this is the issue that we have all been talking about, that there's a few of us interspersed here and there, and no one wants to stand up with us to deal with what is taking place. People do not want the apathy. I don't know if it's so deep and so thick, or people are just so cowardly now and weak as Americans, but I can't thank you for what you're doing, and I'm trying, but I just want to ask that you would continue to put information out so I can glom on to that and try to continue to do what I'm doing. But it's very lonely out here, sir.
I get that. I understand. And, you know, the problem is that people are intimidated. It takes some guts to be able to stand up in a city council or county or school board meeting and speak out. And, you know, I understand that. It's intimidating. This is why I'm saying, first of all, do the research and know what you're up against. And step by step, as you do these things, you will run into other people. And there are just a lonely few that are brave enough to stand up and speak out. Give them the information they need and be able to move forward. So, you know, I know people are intimidated by it, and that's why I tell people when I'm talking about putting together these meetings to organize, that they ask people, what are you most interested in? And get people to do what they enjoy doing, what they're comfortable doing, and then they'll be good at it. And they might see somebody else do something and say, hey, how do you do that? Maybe you want to move on to it. But if nothing else, a lot of these people can be the people in the seats. When you have 200 people show up at a meeting, and that's power, and they don't have to do anything but sit there.
Yeah.
And then you get that few who can speak out and organize it and give them the information they need to do that. But I understand the intimidation from it, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Christine. Tom, are people find helpful information on your website?
Absolutely. We've first of all, there's a large archive of articles there about a lot of these issues. You get a lot of the background information. But we have created an activist handbook that basically focuses on city councils and county commissions, but every single thing I'm talking about in there works with school boards as well. And I coined the phrase, the term, create a freedom pod in your community. Don't worry about the next community. Worry about your community. Mm-hmm. Set your goals. And we're talking here in education. It's pretty simple. Your goals are to get it back to basic education and, stick with that. And if you begin to succeed in your community, other communities will start asking you, how did you do that? And it begins to spread. But focus on your community and don't, try to save everything in one night. Pick an issue. And maybe it's one of these, maybe it's a CRT thing or whatever it may be, and focus on that. Maybe it's the teacher who is standing up. Maybe it's a really bad teacher mm-hmm. you found out and doing something. Focus on that. You win that victory, you'll begin to move forward. The people in Loudoun County, Virginia, were just folk, and yeah. they have become a force. Loudoun County School Board is horrible, and all these things are entrenched. And they've got them on the run there, and it can be done.
Let's go to Joan in Arkansas. Joan, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I just want to encourage parents to homeschool their children, but especially special needs children. We have an adult daughter with Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and we homeschooled her throughout. She takes piano lessons, and she reads music, and she yeah. reads. And there are a lot of things that children with Down syndrome yeah. can learn to do. And so many times in the school system, they're run through with just like busy work, and they're not really learning,
right.
and they're not continuing to be educated into their adult years, because especially for children with special needs, they have to have that all the time.
Right. And Jonah, and I don't want to go too far down the road, and I don't believe our guest is going to take any issue with you at all about alternative education, such as homeschooling or private or Christian education, but to also understand that the majority of our nation's children are in the public education system, and this is why there needs to be concern even for the children of our nation, that goes even beyond our own children, what the children of our nation are being taught in this regard. Tom, your response.
I absolutely applaud homeschooling. One of the great positive things that's been coming out of a lot of what's going on here is that's growing by leaps and bounds. And I certainly understand your situation with your child with special needs. You know, when I was in school, we had special classes for people with special needs, but that all of a sudden became, well, that's just separating them out, and that's not fair. And so they take these children, they put them in the regular classrooms, and they're just lost.
Yeah.
And that's not helping them. And I applaud that. Absolutely do your homeschooling.
Yep. Great point, Joan. And as a dad with a child with special needs, I can totally relate to the very issue you're saying there, and you're right on point. Thank you, Joan.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're up against a break and back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The death rate for those age 18 to 64 has risen to historic levels of 40% over pre-pandemic levels. This is according to the CEO of the Indianapolis-based insurance company, One America. He said, quote, "We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America," said Scott Davison, head of the $100 billion insurance company. He said this company of theirs has been around since 1877. He said this is huge. This is a real problem. The question is, what is causing this 40% increase in the death rates among 18 to 64-year-olds? Could it be the COVID shot, this experimental RNA gene therapy? You decide. But the evidence is coming in. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is our guest here today and talking about the Kitchen Militia. And folks, if you go to his website, you're going to find an article right at the very front of it's the featured article on his website right now, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. And right next to that, you'll see a video feature by Tom as well. But on the right side, you'll have a section called Stay Informed, where you can enter your email address. And Tom will keep you updated on the very issues he discusses here on Crosstalk, whether it be what's happening in the educational system, what's happening with Agenda 21, what's happening with private property rights, and so on and so forth. You'll find that AmericanPolicy.org and obtain the information there. Lines are packed. Let's go to Charlie, who our next caller. Hi, Charlie. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air, Charlie. Go ahead.
Hello. Tom, I just wanted to clarify something. It seems that years ago I heard that John Dewey, who's supposed to be the father of modern education back in the 30s, had made that statement about any child entering into the educational system that has no belief in God is mentally ill. Maybe I heard wrong.
Yeah, he may have said that, but I was quoting Chester Pierce, who was speaking at this 1973 International Education Seminar. But it's obviously the attitude of all of them who are pulling this together, especially Dewey. And probably similar things were said. Yeah. I agree.
And Chester may have been quoting Dewey there, too, but Chester Pierce is the one who said this at the education
event. It's been well for a long time. So. Yeah.
thank you, Charlie. David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to tell you I really appreciate the program. This is something that I just think we've missed so much in this country. We're always looking for new ways of reaching people. But if you look at the history of America, the primary textbook for a couple hundred years in little schools was the Holy Bible. Nobody ever disputed it. And if you look at just the Old Testament, its literary genius, the idea of reading things in the Old King James gives a whole new depth and meaning to just the English language. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for example, the word whithersoever contains so much in just one word. We don't even use words like this. Mm-hmm. I think it would be so cool if you could take an elementary teacher, don't tell the kids she's going to tell them Bible stories, but tell them stories about Gideon and say there was this once great individual who believed that his God would do this, that, and the other thing. And get kids engaged to the point where they're like, wow, what great stories. How cool would it be if there was a God who could do that, and that at some point in the curriculum, the teacher would say, everything I've told you is right out of a book that's called the Old Testament. Yeah. They don't want it in your schools, children, but go home, have your mommy and daddy teach you how to read it and study it together.
Yeah. Oh, ACLU, did I hear you call? yeah, you're right, David. Thank you for raising that. The Bible was taught here, Tom, and biblical truth was taught, wow, now we're putting banning Bibles or putting LGBT books next to it in libraries or whatever it may be.
Well, I think that shows you exactly the very first thing they did as they started to put this whole thing together was begin to eliminate the Bible, begin to eliminate Christian teachings. Now you have, I mean, they can go in and sit on a Muslim prayer rug and learn all about that, but they will not let a Christian group rent a room, in the school to have a meeting. And it tells you everything you need to know. That, first of all, get rid of that. Get rid of the Christian teaching. Get rid of the Bible. And then you've cleared everything out. So what's morality? What are goals in life? What are good things? All gone. And now we're going to fill your head with this other stuff, and that's what you're going to do.
David, thank you for the call. Good point. Zach in River Falls, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say, as the culture has had such a big effect, I think it's even making its way into our Christian schools a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's got me a little worried for some things I've even experienced myself. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of kids fall to this culture and Satan's ways, which has been really hard to have to watch.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. The message, Tom, really, regardless of the educational choices and curricula, parents stay on guard.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's number one. to be in there. And I just say it again. I understand the frustration. I'm only me. I don't know what to do. There are other people out there who agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen so many times when somebody just said one little thing, somebody else comes up to them and says, oh, I agree with that too. It might be a T-shirt you wear, you know, something right. like that. You can begin to find compadres who will begin to join mm-hmm. with you and begin to fight. We have to do that. And no matter how intimidated you are, no matter how busy you are or anything like that, all the excuses you can come up with, if we don't do this, we not only lose our children, we lose our country, and we have got to stand up and fight back or it's all gone. And the choice is yours right now.
Zach, thank you for the call. Denise in Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't remember too many people talking about Jesus when I was little, but I remember when they took prayer out of school. I was in first grade, and I'm 66 now, but all through the years I thought, and then I turned my life over to the Lord. I got saved when I was 8, the neighbor took me, but I didn't hear anybody talking about God, or that's a long time ago, or Jesus.
Yep, prayer's been taken out of the schools, indeed, and we got problems. Thank you, Denise. And finally, Philip, quickly out of Richland, Washington, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to find people who are interested in impeaching our president, because it's socialism that's causing all these problems in the schools.
We're going to, because Tom, he's talking going from the top on down. You talked about going from the bottom up. We've got 45 seconds yet. Go ahead.
To organize on the local level, you can, when you do that, you begin to set the theme, to set the message, and that begins to spread up. It is very difficult to go after the top and move down, but a lot of people think, well, you can't do anything about that if you're only working locally. Yes, you can, and your state legislatures and your local officials have more power than they know, and they can begin to stop these things coming from the federal level if they will stand strong. And that we've got to understand that. But we, first of all, have to take the first step and stand ourselves and begin to move forward.
Thank you, Philip, for the call. And keep in mind that the articles of impeachment do need to go through the House, which is somebody by the name of Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House right now. So you got many, many challenges there as well. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on the program. Folks, again, his website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. You'll see a featured article there on the Kitchen Militia. Check it out. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jim, always. Thank you.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.